Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, today is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Brethren, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be made desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, and if a man be overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you shall fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every one prove his own work, and so he shall give glory in himself only and not in another. For every one shall bear his own burden. And let him that is instructed in the word communicate to him that instructeth him in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For what things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap. For he that soweth in the flesh, of the flesh shall also reap corruption. But he that soweth in the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And in doing good let us not fail, for in due time we shall reap, not failing. Therefore, whilst we have time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Please stand for today's gospel, which is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus went into a city called Nain, and there went with him his disciples and a great multitude. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a great multitude of the city was with her, whom when the Lord had seen, being moved with mercy towards her, he said to her, "Weep not." And he came near and touched the bier, and they that carried it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is risen up amongst us, and God hath visited his people." Thus far the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Now, although the feast of Our Lady of Sorrows is not until Tuesday, we are so much in the midst of feasts of Our Lady right now, this month. So we have just celebrated the feast of the name of Our Lady, the birth of Our Lady, Our Lady's Nativity, and now the sorrows of Mary. And then when we enter into October again, the feast of the Holy Rosary, the queenship of Our Lady, and so on and so forth. It is a time in which we do look to our Blessed Mother. And so I would like to speak today of the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why is it that we have to come to know our Lady? Why is she so important for us Catholics? I think the very best answer we can give to that is what Don Marmion says. So as you know, Don Marmion is a spiritual author who wrote many good spiritual books, which you can take up, Christ, the Life of the Soul, Christ and His Mysteries. And they're filled with excellent and very profound truths. Don Marmion tells us that those who do not know the Blessed Virgin, those who do not truly love the Mother of Jesus, they run the risk of not profitably understanding the mysteries of Christ's humanity. Christ is the Son of Man as well as the Son of God, he says. These two characteristics are essential to him. If he is the Son of God by an eternal, ineffable generation, he became the Son of Man by being born of Mary. And so Mary, therefore, to Don Marmion, is essential if we wish to understand our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need Mary. We need to go through Mary. We need to have recourse to Mary. Now, Our Lady understood herself that our Lord came to redeem us, and she understood and even willed her own close association with that work when she gave her fiat. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, be it done to me according to thy word. And she was consenting in that not just to be the mother of God, but also to be the co-redemptrix, also to be the mediatrix of graces, also to be connected in every way that God wanted her to be connected with our Lord in his redemptive act. We see that, for instance, in the circumcision, when she delivered our Lord to go through that Jewish ritual, and she gave him then the name she was told to give him, Jesus, which means Savior. You can imagine that at that moment, when our Lord shed his first drops of blood, Our Lady was already there offering that up to the Father, as our Lord, in a way, was giving us a prevision of the redemptive act that he would perform for our sake. Our Lady was already there giving a prevision of her participation in it. And then also at the time of the presentation of the temple, Our Lady brought our Lord to be offered up to his Father. In this mystery also, which we commemorate in the Holy Rosary, the fourth joyful mystery, it is nothing less than a parallel to the offertory of the Mass. So when you're praying the fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary, it's like revisiting again the offertory of the Mass. What is taking place there? Our Lady and Saint Joseph are going to make an oblation of our Lord to the Father. In the Mass, the priest, in persona Christi, makes that same oblation, the oblation of Christ. He makes the oblation of our Lord to the Father. That is the great difference between the Mass of all time, as our Lord established it, and the Novus Ordo Mass. That was one of the criticisms in the critical study of the new Mass, put out and then endorsed by the one that was in charge of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Cardinal Ottaviani. It's why it takes his name, the Ottaviani Intervention. But that was one of the points that was criticized in the new Mass, that the new Mass does not say that it offers Jesus Christ to the Father, but that it offers bread and wine to the Father. And there is an exchange expected. We will give you, O God, bread and wine, and we hope that you will give us God. You will give us the Lord. That's not the Mass. And that is not the sacrifice of our Lord. Our Lord is offering himself on the cross for our salvation, not bread and wine. Well, my dear friends, this is what's happening in that fourth joyful mystery, and it's what happens in the offertory of the Mass. But imagine that first stab of pain that entered into the heart of Our Lady. In this most sacred moment, Simeon approaches Our Lady, and he says that this child is set for the fall and the resurrection of many in Israel, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce. It makes good sense that Our Lady would have received her first sorrow then. Just as when we receive bad news, we already suffer. That's why people have to prepare us for bad news. I have some bad news, sit down and I will tell you. It's because we already start hurting when we hear it. We're already suffering when we receive that message. And Our Lady, that was her first suffering. This child shall be set for the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce. And we learn from sacred scripture that she kept these things in her heart. Well, that first suffering led on to another very soon after, when Saint Joseph received a message from heaven in the night to say that Herod, the king, was seeking to destroy, to take the life of the child, and they had to flee to Egypt. You know, if your family is threatened, how much that makes you terrified, how much sorrow you can gain, how much anger will rise up as you want to defend them, maybe even with your very life. And there are many stories of women who have sacrificed themselves for their children. There's a famous story in, I believe it was Nagasaki, but it was, in the rubble, in the burning rubble, that somebody was able to hear a wailing child, and that next to them, like these embers in a pile of embers, a figure barely recognizable as a human being jumped up and ran into the rubble and started digging through the rubble to save the child. It was his mother. Yes, how much Our Lady must have suffered to see someone threatening not only her child, but God Almighty, who is given into her care. And then the prophecy is further fulfilled in this last episode through the hidden life of our Lord, when at 12 years of age, Saint Joseph and Our Lady took our Lord to the temple to do as was done with all Jewish males. At a certain age, they were brought in to be initiated into those rites which an adult Jewish male had to perform. And so they went to the temple, and as we know, on the way back, they couldn't find him. How terrible it is to lose a child. You know, if you're in a busy place and you're looking around, where's Ben? Where's Ben? Oh, there he is. And two things go through your mind at the same time. On the one, it's anger. How could you do that? And then the other, it's relief. Whew. I remember one time coming home from school. We rode the school bus and we were all dropped off and we're all tired. So we're thinking about ourselves. And we all got off the school bus and we went in the house. And I remember a certain point, Mom saying, "Where's Jonathan?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. He's probably in his bedroom. He's probably relaxing or doing his homework. Probably not, but maybe." And as my mother said, "Well, did he get off the bus? His bag's not here. His shoes aren't here. Where's your brother? Go find your brother." And so we're looking around, and then it became apparent that he wasn't there. And we're scouring the yard, crying out, "Jonathan, Jonathan, what could have happened?" We're losing our mind with fear. And then the school bus pulls in, and off comes my brother Jonathan. And we learned that the bus driver had driven all the way home. And as he was cleaning the bus, he got to the very back and he found this little boy curled up in the back seat. It's a good thing it wasn't wintertime, and it's a good thing he checked the bus at the end. He could have said, "Oh, I'm too tired, I'll do it later," and went to his house. In any case, yeah, we know how it is if we lose a child. Mothers and fathers, that fearful moment, where is he? Well, Our Lady and Saint Joseph sought for 3 days for our Lord. It's a joyful mystery of the Rosary because they found him. And there's so much depth and profundity to that mystery, especially the words of our Lord. "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But it's still also one of the sorrows of Our Lady because they lost our Lord for 3 days. How significant. How many days would he spend in the tomb? 3 days. Well, my dear friends, the final 4 sorrows of our Blessed Mother take place all during the passion and death of our Lord, and that makes a lot of sense. The first of them, when Our Lady met our Lord on the road to Calvary, we can only really guess to a great degree, or to some degree, at the sorrow that filled the heart of Our Lady at that moment. Many spiritual authors speak of that, and I remember reading one where he says that Our Lady encouraged our Lord, gave him support, and said, "Go finish what you have begun." That's quite a profound thought. You see the depth of Our Lady's heart in that, that she, with her faith, with her attachment to the will of God, wanted our Lord to finish what he had begun. He began shedding his blood. She wanted him to finish shedding his blood for us. What a consideration. But it is feasible if we consider the profundity of the depth of the faith of our Blessed Mother. But nevertheless, that tremendous sorrow. I remember my dear uncle saying that of all of the aspects of the movie, The Passion, which is a very Hollywoodized version of the Passion of our Lord, he said that he could sit through the whole thing, but when he saw the image of Our Lady running to meet our Lord, that was it for him. He broke down. He couldn't take it. What must have transpired in the heart of our Blessed Mother? And then, like the great peak of that mountain, standing there at the foot of the cross and hearing the words of our Lord, "I thirst." Truly, she must have known that he said he thirsted for souls. But yet, perhaps, if she thought it fitting, she would have tried to climb the cross to give him nourishment. You know, dear mothers, your children are in need. You run to their aid. Well, what heart is better than the heart of our Blessed Mother towards our Lord? I thirst. And then it is consummated. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And his body became limp. The body that she had helped give life. He took his flesh from her. And she sees that life leave him. And he goes limp. And then to take that body into her arms, at the foot of the cross, and to see that which is most perfect, which is most pure. A bone would not be allowed to be broken in the body of our Lord. That was mandated by God himself. No bone would be broken, but yet he would be lacerated almost beyond recognition, and his heart pierced with a lance, and blood and water flow forth. And she holds this body in her hands. And it is such an injustice that she beholds that men who are sinners, who have rejected their God, and God sent this perfect, pure lamb in order to give himself for their sakes, and look what they have done to him. And then finally, to lay our Lord's body in the tomb and to hear that finalizing sound of the stone rolled home. Many parents who witness the death of their children and the burial of their children can bear much. But when the stone falls on top of the tomb, I saw that myself. It was in the seminary when we buried a young man, and his father was very strong throughout. But when the concrete top of the tomb came into place, that was it for him. Well, my dear friends, we cannot possibly understand fully the depths of sorrow that Our Lady endured in witnessing and in participating in the Passion of our Lord. But I would say one thing as a final thought, that everything Our Lady endured, she did willingly. And that is the mystery of mysteries. We don't like to suffer, and yet when it came to our Lord and our Lady, there was this great desire. With a great desire, I have desired to eat this Pasch with you. Our Lord included also his passion in that. And Our Lady the same. With a great desire, I have desired to suffer for you. If anything had prevented our Lord from going to Calvary, he would have pushed it aside. And if anything had prevented Our Lady from participating in the Passion of our Lord, she would have pushed it aside. Let us understand something of the love of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary for us. Our Lady shows us in her sorrowful heart, look what I will go through for your sake. And if we have cares, if we have needs, if we wish to place our life in a secure hand, let us place it in hers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.